Amy Williams, and I want to welcome you to the Love and Lordship podcast with Greg Williams. This message is about building every relationship on the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. For more from Greg and the Love and Lordship ministry, visit loveandlordship.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, it's all about Jesus' love and lordship. And now, here's Greg with this week's message.
Welcome to Love and Lordship. I'm your host, Greg Williams. I want to thank you for joining us again. In the last couple of months, we spent focusing on Thanksgiving and Christmas and a new year and taking it one day at a time, if you remember that. And so now we're going to move back into the Love and Lordship message. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to have ready for you in articles, video, podcasts. We're going to have some teaching on relationships, in particular, living in His image, the image of God. That's what we're created for, and we see it not only in personal lives, but we never see it more fully than how it's expressed in relationship. And we're going to unpack that a little bit today, so I want you to see that. So we're back to developing this message. This is foundational. As we get into the Love and Lordship series that I do in conferences and retreats and events or in the series, we're going to go deeper and deeper into this and some of the things that will encourage you and that you probably heard. And I promise you there'll be some things that you maybe not have heard or make you think about it. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So appreciate that. Check that out at loveandlordship.com and give us your comments. Let us know. Subscribe to our weekly newsletter as well. You can do that right there as soon as you come up on the website. So appreciate that. Also, I want to thank those of you who have connected with me or found out through this or other means that I'm in the process of writing a book. I want to thank you. I have got the first draft done. Thankful to my wife, Amy, because she's the editor and she's a professional editor. So I have that built in. That's an awesome blessing on top of all the other blessings she is to me. But she is the editor and we just finished the entire first draft. Now I've got several people that are reviewing and they're giving me back some great feedback and insights, and I'm so excited about bringing this together and just letting the Lord take it and do what He wants to do with it. I've been asked so many times, and I kept praying, Lord, I just want to be faithful. And so I thank You for Your encouragement and Your continued prayers on that as we wrap that up. Now, if we're going to build good relationships based on God's authority, remember He's the author, so it's not Him lording it over us. It's us choosing to come under His lordship, His authority. Then we need to start where He did. And that's why I've entitled this two-part series, In His Image, Agape Relationships, Marriage, Family, and the Church. That's part one. That's what we're going to talk about today. And before I go any further, I want to make sure that you understand what agape is. Some of you may have heard this in church or somewhere. It's a fancy Greek word. It simply means godly love. And that means selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love and commitment. That's what agape means, and that's what God gives to us, and He desires that we learn, first of all, to give it back to Him and then to live it out with others. And so we want to look at that, where He started. What does it mean to be in relationship? Take that a step further. In the unity of marriage, reflecting the image of God. What if that unity, though, is not just for a man and woman in covenant marriage, but also meant for His church? I'm going to show you in Scripture where it is. So let's start where He did, in the beginning, right? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning. Well, down near the end of that chapter in verse 27, it says this, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. And listen to this, male and female, He created them. He explains it a little further. He created human beings in His image, but He gave us two genders, male and female, so that we could clearly and more fully understand what His image was. Right from the beginning, He tells us that we're created in His image. And male and female, that settles the question regarding gender, as He has a very specific reason for doing so. We'll look at that. As a God of order, His order makes sense. Are we willing to be sensible people and follow that order? I'm going to give you, and you'll find this in the article, but I'm going to give you the name of an article that is linked in the article at loveandlordship.com in part one of your Image of God, Agape Relationships, Marriage, Family, and Church, part one. The article by Glenn Stanton, he's a researcher for Focus on the Family, lead researcher, says this, or it's entitled this, Why Sex and Gender Are Not Two Different Things. Take a look at that. Why sex and gender are not two different things. He does a fabulous job, very graciously. He's not blasting anyone. He does a great job of just laying this out. It would be worth your read, okay? So take a look at that. But we are created from the beginning and always in God's image, male and female. He created them in His image. I think there are four markers that clearly show that we're created in His image. The first one, we can reason. That sets us apart from all other animals, although my wife questions that with me from time to time. But we really can reason. Now, I want to point out something else. The fact that we are falling and in sin, fallen and in sin, my reason may be selfish from time to time, maybe more than from time to time. And yours may be the same. So what happens when my reason and your reason conflict? If we don't have an author, if we don't have a foundational absolute truth, we're never going to be able to solve that. And so that's the importance of understanding that we can reason, but that reason that God has given us in line with His image is so that we can reason in His truth and understand not only Him, but how to get along. Amazingly, in His sovereignty, He also gave us free will so that we can understand and choose or reject His truth and love. That's what reason allows us to do. I may get that wrong. You may get that wrong. We both may get that wrong. But we have the capability to reason. What we want to do is bring that reason in line with Him and His Word and His Spirit. The second marker is this. We are made differently, clearly, okay, to complement each other. There is a complementarity. That's a good word, isn't it? Complementarity to this sexes, the gender, male and female. We're made different. We are not only made in His image as individuals, but as male and female, He has a great purpose in the differences that He created within us as male and female. And when we come together in unity, we are able to see even more of what that image may look like. Those differences help us to round off some of the rough edges. Prune, and she allows Him to prune and shape us a bit more, because it helps reveal the needs and the weaknesses and the opportunities for me to mature individually and for us to mature together. That's why when we reason and we get upset and we conflict, then we can come together and learn from it. Together, these two markers in His image point to His purpose and order in the divine design. Now, let's take it a step further, because I said there's four markers. So now we move from the individual and the relationship to loving relationship in community. That's another part of His image. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Repeating Genesis 2:24 from earlier. For this reason, maybe three of the most powerful words in all of history and certainly instructive to our day and time. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. God said, I made them male and female, and for this reason, that a man would leave his mother and father, that relationship that hopefully has been built in His love, and move into a relationship that eventually becomes a unity, a oneness, leave and cleave, that reflects His agape love. And He says it's literally for that reason that we created male and female. God told us clearly what it was. Listen to these. Number one, we are created for intimate relationship, and the greatest expression of that being created in His image is the love reflected in intimate relationships in marriage. That sexual union, we'll talk about in a moment, is reserved strictly and absolutely for that intimate relationship. Second one is, I want to share with you a little bit more. We talked at the beginning about agape so you'd understand it. It literally comes from a Hebrew word that means, in essence, the same thing, hesed. That hesed relationship was God's relationship with us. Remember, we're made in His image. Hesed was the Hebrew word in the Old Testament that literally meant God's faithful, undying, loving kindness. He would never fail us. He would always love us, and he would always be faithful. That's what hesed meant and how God modeled it for us. Agape is what the Greeks picked up to define that word. So when I say hesed or agape, we're talking about the love of God, and he made us in his image. He wants that to be lived out. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing about for this reason, because Jesus said in Matthew 19:6, when the Jewish leaders were trying to trick him on marriage and divorce, they said, well, ask him about marriage. And he said, don't you know that in the beginning that we created the male and female? And then he said, for this reason, man will leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife, the sexual union. But more than just a sexual union. That's the only place that's supposed to occur. But there are so many other things that then can be reflected in our children. Relationship, emotional connection, being able to do it as a family, in a community, sacrificial service for one another. If I don't learn to die to myself, my sex life is probably going to die. Now, I may be able to get that cheap sex life somewhere else, but in marriage, the only way it flourishes and blossoms, which, by the way, all the statistics say the best and the greatest and the most sex is in a long-term commitment in marriage. You can go check that out. Secular research says that over and over again. One of the best ones was a book written in 2000, The Case for Marriage, by a very liberal, self-professed liberal, Linda Waite. Was the lady's name, a professor at the University of Chicago, and she was blown away by the data that came back in. The other author was not. She's a very conservative family writer and blogger named Maggie Gallagher out of Canada. Together, they did the research, and it was unbelievable what they found out. But the greatest, best, and most fulfilling, and most, how should I say this? The most repetitive, okay, you get to enjoy it more, all right, is in a long-term commitment in marriage. That's not only fascinating, it's right in line with what God designed for us. And so we want to honor that. There's great things in that, and we want to let people know that. Jesus said, for this reason, man leave mother and father and cleave to his wife. And then he closed it with this. And what God has put together. So God's the one who formed marriage. God's the one who had this idea of marriage. Not man, not government. What God has put together, let no man, any part of man, tear that apart. That's how important marriage is to God. It points to his design from the very beginning in his image of the highest expression of intimate relationship. Marriage is the highest of human relationships. Check this out. The highest and most sacred is marriage, and it is exclusively reserved for one man and one woman in a lifetime covenant relationship. Everything about the scripture. Now, there were people that messed it up in the Bible, but if you read far enough, you will find that every one of them had severe consequences for their sexual and relational immorality. Even godly people, thank God for his grace. But they had horrific outcomes for the fact that they chose to do it their way rather than God's way. The other thing I want to hit on this about in his image and this union and this oneness and this cleaving is that the two will become one. The becoming one is literally a reference to the sexual union. It includes all the other, but it is a clear reference. He doesn't make that need of the relationship. He doesn't say that you can go out and become one with somebody else. It doesn't say, well, if you like somebody or they turn you on, it says you do it in that one-time, lifetime relationship. That's his design. Have we messed that up? Yes. Is there forgiveness? Yes. Does it change his truth? Absolutely not. That's still the design. That's still the purpose. And if we would uphold that, people would take marriage much more seriously. And I think we would see our divorce rate, our cohabitation rate, both are sins. We would see the sexual immorality of all kinds, regardless of what it is, would plummet because we are taking seriously God's plan and design for marriage and loving relationships. So the becoming one is sexual. It's highly regarded and protected throughout scripture and history. Accordingly, because it's reserved for that, it's done for individuals, for families, and for all of society. He intended it to impact all of that. Relationship, unity, and community are key elements of his image and what we are created for. It's not only the one man and one woman that's used to describe the marriage, But marriage is also used to describe God's relationship with Israel. In Jeremiah 31 and 32, he literally calls Israel, he calls himself Israel's husband. Significance in that. In Ephesians 5, Paul, writing under the Holy Spirit, literally says, it was a mystery, but I'm going to tell you what the mystery is. Whenever I'm talking about marriage, one man, one woman, submit to your husband, love your wife as Christ did the church and gave his life up for. Before all of that, in verse 21 of chapter 5, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He finishes that chapter out, as we know it, by saying, and oh, by the way, all this stuff I'm telling you about loving relationships and submitting and understanding what that means, when I'm talking about marriage, I'm talking about Christ and his bride. If you don't get it right in marriage, how are we going to do it in the church? We need to pay attention to that. We need to not only teach that, and we can't have just knowledge-based discipleship. We've got to have obedience-based discipleship where people are upholding that and holding each other accountable. And that won't be easy in a world who has taken relationships and made of them whatever we want. But that's what we're called to, because that's God's design. And it points to all other relationships. You see, marriage points to Christ, his gospel, and the church, and his church. Marriage is the highest expression of hesed, remember in the Old Testament, God's faithful, loving kindness, and agape, sacrificial, unconditional, selfless love of God. It's a sacrificial love for the sake of the other, and that does point to all relationships. That's why he said marriage should be honored by all. We are attempting to build relationships and even community apart from marriage and in family. And as we do that, we usurp his design and his image. We are not reflecting and showing the world what his image looks like when we either don't speak against this or we literally change it to do it the way we want. In our compromise and in our silence, we are literally speaking against God's image. Think about that. It doesn't mean that everyone must be married, but it does lay the foundation in his image for all loving relationships, sacrificing self for another. It speaks to the love to be lived out in his church and in all these other relationships. Let me say this, and I'll probably repeat it. I did on Love and Lordship Live, and so hopefully if you haven't seen that, you'll get it here. The church is crippled at best when it does not uphold, encourage, and promote not only biblical marriage, but healthy marriages as well. The church is crippled at best when it does not uphold, encourage, and promote not only biblical marriages, but healthy relationships in purity and in integrity as well. We've got to uphold them everywhere. And I know, I can't tell you, very, very few people that I sit with or meet with, many of them will be in a conference or a series or will be sitting in my office, and I begin to talk about the purity that God designed this to be, for not only for our sake, but for his sake, and for, so people would see and know his kind of love and his glory. And they will look at me like, you mean that whole thing about not having sex outside of marriage is real? I mean, literally, I have people that come in that have been in churches all their life, and they many of them will say, I thought God was okay. It's okay for us to live together. It was okay for us to have sex with multiple people. It was okay with that because I don't hardly ever hear anything about that. We need to hold them accountable in a loving, gracious way. But we need to speak that truth and hold people accountable, or we're not honoring marriage. The best we can do in our relationships apart from this is with a compassion that's based upon our own experiences. And that often falls short when it's not returned to us in some way. And that's not real love. Or do we love based on the best turn on or attraction or the strongest emotions rooted in our own selfish desires? Oh, we'll give as long as we get as much as or more in return. I do a whole thing called the cookie jar that you'll see later on about this. It's kind of a funny little parody on what love and self-control and self-discipline is and how it all goes together in relationships. The best we can do apart from God is a pretty good lust. And it falls so far short of all that God has for us to experience in his real agape love. Think about that. Love redone or done right building relationships apart from his image expressed in marriage, Adam and Eve, God and Israel, the Christ and his bride, is a train wreck every time and on every level. The evidence is in his creation and in his word. I've alluded to this, and I'm going to give you the scripture. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept undefiled or kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. But if there are people sitting in your church claiming Christ as their Savior and Lord and living in sexual sin, God will judge them. I don't know what that looks like in the end, but I know he's going to do it. And if they're living in that sin, how can they say he's Lord and claim him as Savior? He came to change all that. That's what he set us free from. That may take a while. That may take a process. But when we turn to him and give ourselves to him, we can do that. That's what he's calling us to there. Honoring marriage doesn't begin. By the way, let me back up a step. What do you think God means in his word when he says marriage should be honored by all? Let's see. The Greek word for all means all. It doesn't mean those who are married or have been married or thinking about getting married or will get married someday. It literally means all. So honoring marriage doesn't begin when you say, I do. It begins long before that in our lives of integrity, purity, and self-control outside of marriage, especially with regard to sex. It's not all, the mind as well. That's part of it. But especially with regard to sex in the mind. And then it's continued, that purity and integrity and self-control is continued in marriage. Why is that so important? Because here's the goal of all relationships. If we're created in his image and we were created for loving relationships, it's to reflect that image that we were made in. So people can see and know him. One, we reflect his reason and his wisdom. As I said, my wife thinks I fall short on that quite often, but I still get the opportunity to work at that, okay? Secondly, we reflect his holiness, his righteousness, his purity, his integrity. Third, we reflect his truth in love. We come together in love, reflecting his truth, and that never changes. We should not let the compassion of our own fleshly emotions keep us from expressing that truth in love. And finally, to reflect his image, we show people what true unity is. We've talked about all those: reason and wisdom, holiness and righteousness, his truth and love, and then his unity. In John 17, John's writing and basically uses a very similar language in Greek that God did in the beginning in Genesis. Jesus said that they all may be one as you and I are one, Father. In Genesis, that a man would leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife and the two would become one. There's something to that, and it begins with marriage, that it's reflected in his church so the world can see something different. They see the real image of God. Let's begin and continue where he did. In the beginning, for this reason, male and female, to become one flesh, so we can show them what wisdom and holiness and truth and love and unity really look like. So the world can know and see his kind of love. How do we do that? We honor his design for life. That's why it's so important that we stand for that, because life is the fruit of the oneness of a marriage relationship. That's God's design. God's design always has been. So we have to honor that life. We honor his design for love and relationships, beginning in honoring marriage. Remember, long before we say I do. It's reflected in our homes and in his bride, the church. This kind of love, relationship, unity, and community is what it means to be created in and reflect the image of God. And it points to what he desires in all relationships so that the world can see and know him and his kind of love. At Love and Lordship, we're here to help you live joyfully and have fulfilling relationships in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no charge for what we do. Conversations, counseling, mentoring we provide. If you need some help, if you have questions, please connect with us. I have people in my office all the time. And I'd love to talk to them on the phone, whatever it may be. I'd love to talk to you about that and help you to understand this truth and the faith and hope that comes from his grace and his love, rooted in that truth. Please continue to pray for us. We ask that if you could, we very much could use your financial support to continue this ministry. A one-time gift an annual, semi-annual, or ongoing monthly gifts would be very helpful, and we could reach more. I go to prisons, I go to addiction facilities, I go to organizations that I've been asked to share in where there is, Lexington Leadership Foundation is one of them, which is a great organization. I'm asked to go in and help teach healthy relationships to men in particular, oftentimes that have been court or cabin and ordered. We have some that voluntarily come in and just want to get better at their relationships, at being a husband or being a father. But we get to go there and share that message with them. So we could use your help in that. And please pray for the book. I'm working on it. I've got it, the first draft done. We hope to, in the next month or so, to have the final draft done once the reviews all come in and we make the changes. And then we're going to give it to someone who said they will submit it to some publishers. So we're thankful for that. We're trusting God. I have no delusions of grandeur, but I do know that God desires to use it and can do what he wants with it. So we're thankful for that. I want to thank you again for joining us. I pray and hope again that you've gotten a great start to the new year. Thank you for sharing this with others. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ.
We hope you've been encouraged, challenged, and blessed by today's message from Greg and Love and Lordship. Join us again next week as Greg shares more about the love and lordship of Jesus.